This morning's Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 147, the first 11 verses. Let's hear the psalmist's words. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kuam," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Health is important, isn't it? I pay attention to health matters, but there are some things I just don't understand. For example, at the drugstore, I don't understand why they make the sick people walk all the way to the back of the drugstore to get their prescriptions while they let the healthy people get their cigarettes right at the entrance. I don't understand that. I don't understand the life of James Duer. James Duer, as a young man in 1930, invented the very unhealthy Twinkies snack bar, snack cake. And then, for the next 55 years, he ate two a day, dying at the ripe old age of 88. I don't understand that. I was thinking about it as I was eating my lettuce salad. And I certainly don't understand why there are so many drug commercials on TV. You've also wondered. Every channel seems to have some pharmacy company promoting a drug for some reason. I've often thought, are we that sick? And then we note all the side effects. And I wonder, who's taking this? Now, I'm glad that some are and getting help, but are we that sick? Health is important. I hope you're paying attention to your health. And the pandemic has required all of us to look at and to care for our own personal health and those in our family more and better. And that's a very good thing. Pastors always have spent a lot of time with people who are not well. In my training, there was a course in seminary on pastoral care with the sick and the dying. In my third year, there was clinical education. I spent every Monday for a year on the wards of St. Elizabeth Mental Hospital in Washington, D.C., learning how to understand and to interact with people with a wide variety of mental illnesses. In my very first week as an associate pastor in Plainfield, many years ago, the senior pastor in that first week took me to the local hospital because he said, this is where you'll be spending a lot of time visiting parishioners. And to this day, pre-COVID and I trust post, Trinity pastors go to the local hospital every day and to other hospitals regularly and as needed. Pastors are there all the time. They give us a reserved parking spot. That's how often we're there. So health is important. And in the matter of COVID, and because we're all thinking about our health these days, I decided to do a four-part sermon series on God's healing power. We're going to take a look next week at the healing of body and or soul, implying the truth that sometimes our bodies don't heal. But what about our soul? In 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at healing relationships, something that always is relevant in families and with friends. And then we're going to take a look in 3 weeks at healing past memories, because many, many people have a dis-ease because of something in the past. And all of this is based on the truth that God desires you and me to be healthy and to be complete in our body. And underlying that is the truth that God desires all of us not just to be healthy as a physical person, but to be whole, to be complete, to be balanced. These things, therefore, lead us to think about today our journey to wholeness. Our journey to wholeness. Once a man went to his doctor with a terrible pain in his shoulder, his right shoulder. It had been getting worse and worse and worse in the last 3 or 4 months. Almost now, he reported, to the point that he could not even lift his shoulder without incredible pain. Well, you know what doctors do? X-rays, more tests, MRI. 6 weeks later, all the tests are done, and they come back showing that the shoulder has absolutely nothing wrong with it. They can't figure out anything that would be causing this pain. The patient goes back to his primary care physician, and they start talking a little bit more. And the doctor starts wondering what else could be going on. And he said, so tell me what's going on in your life, not physically, but other things that might be affecting this shoulder of yours. And he said, well, there is this guy, and he did this. This guy, he went on to say, who about a year ago secretly stole lots of money from me. It can never be recovered. They cannot give him a reason or catch him. They can't make him come into the police. He just got away with it. And the doctor said, well, how do you feel about that? Again, the man said, I want to knock his head off. And the doctor rightly said, why don't you go see a counselor? Which he did. And in the course of the counseling, as he talked about his anger and his hatred for this man, guess what started to happen? The pain in his shoulder went away, because that pain was right where this man would have used his arm to hit the person he hated. You see, we are whole people, body, mind, spirit, relationships. The word health we think of as body and mind, but health also implies spiritual. Did you know that the word health, whole, W-H-O-L-E, and holy, holy, all come from the same root word? And therefore, as we think about how God has made us, God wants us to be holy and whole and healthy. It all is connected. Think about your body. Right now, isn't this incredibly amazing? Right now, in our bodies, our organs are all working together in unity to keep us healthy. Our blood cells are all working in unity and communicating to keep us working well and healthy. And chemicals in our body are all working together and coordinating to keep us healthy. That's why when you go to the doctor and get your blood work, he takes a look, or she sees that on the blood test, this is up or that's down. It's out of balance. You see, we are meant physically to be in balance. The word is homeostasis, a principle that God wove into the human body to keep us in balance, all working in unity together. So we broaden that principle and realize that this is God's intent, not just for our body, but for our minds, for our relationships, and for our soul. All of these things under the same principle that God desires us to be healthy, whole, and holy, to be balanced, to be at peace. The ancient Greeks put it this way. They wrote, physical or psychological illness means there is a loss of harmony in the body. A loss of harmony. And so we learn today from a woman who interacted with Jesus a long time ago. You heard it read, let's hear pieces of it again. Jesus is walking along. He might be in Capernaum or somewhere on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, but there's a large crowd around him. He's probably walking through a town, but he's drawing a crowd wherever he goes. Lots of people. And a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, has come to him and, in a panic, as you would expect, said, my daughter is dying. My little 12-year-old girl is dying, but you can heal her. Come right now and help. Well, Jesus agrees. And so he begins walking to wherever this house was. We're not quite sure, but it wasn't terribly far away. And with Jesus and Jairus are lots of other people. The disciples are with Jesus. Jairus probably has some other folks with him. He's the leader of the synagogue. He gets attention wherever he goes. And so envision walking down a village main street. Lots and lots of people. And as he does, there's a woman in the crowd. This woman in the crowd, no one knows. We remember that women had no rights in that day, and we know nothing else about her except through this brief interaction. But the woman in the crowd has had a terrible health problem for 12 years. She has had bleeding for 12 years. Now, this is just an incredibly bad thing. First of all, it's terrible for her health, but it's also terrible because in those days, a woman in her menstrual cycle was considered unclean, and she could not go into the synagogue or temple until she took a ritual bath. But this woman, perpetually, thus permanently banned from her spiritual life. Her friends very well may have thought that she had done something wrong. You see, in those days, it was a common misunderstanding that someone who was unhealthy or had gotten sick had sinned. They had done something wrong. And so many people stayed away from her. Her family, very possibly, also stayed away or isolated. And certainly some people judged and shamed her just because of this terrible condition. So you see, she was not just bodily unhealthy. Everything about her life was unhealthy. And she hears that Jesus is coming to town. And so when he's there, she sees this crowd coming. She thinks to herself, I've heard he's healed other people. I believe he can heal me. If only I could get close enough. If only I could get close enough and reach and touch just the hem of his garment. I will be healed. I will be healed. And so Jesus gets near. And as he comes along, we remember that on his mind is the commitment he has made to go with Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, to heal Jairus's daughter. So that's where they're going. And then comes the moment. The woman presses into the crowd as the entourage walks by, and she reaches out and touches his garment. Look at this image. Think about her. Put yourself in her place. Reaching out through legs to touch the garment that she believes will heal her. And in that moment, Jesus stops because he feels some power has gone out from him. Somehow, miraculously, he understands that someone has touched him. Something has happened. And he stops. And he says, who was it that touched my garment? You can imagine this woman very possibly was fearful that somehow he would chastise her, or that others would, or that she had done something wrong. But he calls her out. She must have been shaking, nervous, when she steps into the street and Jesus confronts her. And she says, it was I. And she notices something else. She has been healed. The bleeding has stopped. And she knows it. And standing before Jesus now, the great physician, Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So what happened here? For us today, it's important to understand what happened then so we understand how it can happen still today. The first thing we know that happened is that Jesus was aware of her need. He stopped. He was aware of her need. And he calls her for the only time in the Bible where Jesus says to someone, daughter, he says, daughter. Isn't that a lovely image of Jesus calling her daughter with the care of a father, a heavenly father, for one in need? He's aware of her need. And Jesus is aware of your need now. Jesus knows of your area of unhealth, of body, of mind, of spirit, of relationships. Doesn't matter if it's a small problem or large, he was aware of her need. Second thing he does is he takes the time to talk to her. Remember, he's on this journey. And it's an important one because this little girl is dying. When he stops, can you imagine the anger, even frustration of Jairus, who says, come on, you said you'd come and help my daughter. The end of that story, you read the scripture, heard it before. The little girl lives. Jesus raises her from the dead. But we stay focused on this woman whom Jesus gave time to. It makes me think of the wonderful hymn, many of you know it, In the Garden, it's called. There's a wonderful line there about Jesus. It says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Yes. His own daughter. He takes the time. Jesus has time for you. Some folks I've heard say, oh, my problem's too small. No, no. God has time for you and for whatever it is on your heart that is causing any dis-ease. We note then that Jesus affirms her faith. Your faith, he says, has made you well. She believed. She believed so much that she did this very socially uncomfortable act of reaching through the legs of other people just to touch him. Because she believed. Today, doctors are very pleased when they hear that their patients have faith. They are. I have stood many a time in hospitals, at bedsides, often in pre-op settings, where the patient parishioner is about to go in for surgery, sometimes less significant, sometimes life-threatening. And we will gather, and the anesthesiologists will have come in, and the nurses have been there. You know, some of you have lived it. Lots of people coming and going. We're 5, 10, 15 minutes from rolling that person in for surgery, and then the doctor will come, or the surgeon. And many a time I have stood there, and in that moment particularly, if I can grab it, I will call us to prayer with the doctor there. Because no matter what a physician's faith, experience, or affirmation, they are glad to know that their patient has faith. Because doctors will tell you they understand the mysterious, miraculous power of healing as prayer impacts that surgery. And then Jesus restores her wholeness. And this is perhaps the key piece of this healing story, different from most others. As we talk about wholeness, that we are body, mind, spirit, relationship, that we're all interconnected, and that God wants all of us to be healthy, whole, and holy. In Jesus healing her, he restores her wholeness. Oh yes, the bleeding stops. Physical. But also, instantly, she now is able to go back to the synagogue. He restores her soul, her spiritual life. Instantly, he restores her relational life because family and friends no longer will keep distant, isolate, even shame her. Instantly, he gave her back her self-confidence, her mental life. Because now she knows she can live a more normal life. Do you see the wholeness of the healing? All the aspects of her life are healed in that one act because God desires your wholeness. God desires your wholeness. And here's a great, great story. He says finally to her, go in peace. And the word peace is the word shalom. And the word shalom in Hebrew doesn't mean goodbye. It means peace. It means wholeness. The word actually comes from the Greek sozo. Scholars tell us it means being made whole, saved from something dangerous, made spiritually well. He sends her off with a blessing for this wholeness. Shalom. Today, friends, whatever is dis-easing you, dis-easing in body, in mind, in relationships, in spirit, in any way, God desires your wholeness. That's truth. And God's healing power is available to you and for you. Remembering that not always are we healed the way we want, but God's healing power is there. We know what God can do. We just have to do what that woman did. And what did she do? She had faith, which led her to go, and she went. She had faith, and she put her faith into action by going to Jesus. And that's where we leave it today. It is faith that drives us to want to go to God. It is courage, like that woman, that drives us to God to access the healing power that's available for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we're so grateful for the record of Scripture, which shows us time and again how Jesus healed people. Help us this day to affirm the truth of your healing power. And grant to us, Lord, courage, understanding, wisdom, so as to more and more reach out to you in all aspects of our lives, wherever there may be dis-ease, and to ask and seek for your healing power. For in your love, we know that you will give it. These things we pray because of Jesus. Amen.